Islamic parables timeless and bright, bringing the soul to the path of light. Islamic parables, Islamic parables.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series Islamic Parables. Inshallah Azza wa Jalla, in today's episode and program, we are going to discuss the parables of giving charity. Inshallah Azza wa Jal. Before that, we'll recite Salawat ala Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and begin with the beautiful gift of Durood and Salam in the court of the beloved Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In the hadith, he Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has stated that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most Durood upon me. So without further ado, let's recite together. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'ina wa sallam. Brothers, the saint Mansur bin Ammar rahimahullah, he was delivering a discourse when a rightful claimant asked him for 4 dirhams. I will make 4 prayers for whoever gives this person 4 dirham, he announced. A servant happened to be passing by and he heard the empathy in Mansur bin Ammar's voice, causing him to stop in his tracks. The servant then gave 4 dirhams to the claimant, despite this being all he had in his possession. He asked, "What 4 prayers shall I make for you?" To which the servant responded, "Pray that I am freed from servitude. I receive good return for these dirhams, and my master and I are given the ability to repent. And lastly, I exhort you to pray for me, yourself, and my master, and all in attendance here to be forgiven." Mansur bin Ammar rahimahullah raised his hands and supplicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the servant had stopped on his way home, he returned later than usual. When his master asked why, the servant replied, and he explained to him as to what had happened on his way. "What was the first prayer?" the master asked. The servant said, "I asked to be made free from servitude," the slave replied. The master immediately then exclaimed, "You are now no longer a servant," and asked what the second prayer was. He said, "I asked for the 4 dirhams that I had given to be granted good return." The master said, "I am giving you 4,000 dirhams in return for those 4 dirhams. Allahu Akbar. He then inquired about the third prayer. The servant said, "The third prayer was that I asked for you and I to be given ability to repent." The master began uttering phrases of repentance right away, saying that, "I repent to Allah from all my sins." He then asked of the fourth and the final prayer. The servant said, "I asked for you, for me, and for Mansur bin Ammar and all the attendees to be forgiven." The master responded, "I have done the 3 things within my power. The fourth matter regarding forgiveness for all is not something within my ability." The master had a dream that very night in which he heard this, that "You carried out whatever you were capable of, but I am Arhamur Rahimin. I have forgiven you, your servant, Mansur, and all the attendees." Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah. Look at the blessings of a person, you know, what he attains when he spends in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by giving just 4 dirhams. The servant was granted 4,000 in return and freed from his life of servitude due to the charity of one person. Allah Azza wa Jal forgave not only the servant and the master, but many other people as well. Adding to this, Allah Azza wa Jal also granted double the reward to the person who sincerely gives charity. In fact, even greater than that, we should all try our absolute best to give charity for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal from time to time as per our financial ability. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, we will attain many benefits in this life by doing so. Allah Azza wa Jal himself has ordered us to give charity in the Holy Quran. Such is its importance and excellence. He prays those people who give charity in numerous verses of the Holy Quran. Now, if we look at this verse of Surah Al-Baqarah, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُدَلْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Guidance for those who fear Allah, those who believe without seeing, and keep salah, meaning the five daily prayers, established, and spend in our path from the sustenance we have bestowed upon them. In specific regards to وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, Sayyid Muhammad Naimuddin Muradabadi rahimahullah ta'ala, he explains, spending in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal means either specifically giving zakat, as it is evidenced by part of another verse which says, يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ. Or this means spending in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal unconditionally. This unconditional spending can be fard or wajib and includes zakat, charitable donations for Islamic causes, or spending on one's family. This unconditional spending can also be something mustahab, that is recommended, commendable, such as voluntary charity or donating towards the deceased. The financial expenses by donating rewards to saints or pious people are all included in the definition of voluntary charity. Fortunate are the Muslims who deal with their wealth in the necessitated manner, pay zakat and fitrah happily on time, spend money on their parents, siblings and children, feed the poor and destitute, build hospitals with good intentions, spend sincerely on arranging gatherings of Quran, dhikr and naat, whilst not infringing the rights of others. Help with the daily expenses of the masjid and madrasas, as well as financially supporting the students of the sacred knowledge. Allah Azza wa Jal will bless them with double the reward. In fact, more than double. Let's make intention together. Not only will we give our donation to Dawat Islami for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, but we will also encourage others to do the same, inshallah Azza wa Jal. Now, let's go into the detail as to what sadaqah actually means. Sadaqah, charity. The definition of sadaqah is to give something in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal solely for His sake and whilst seeking reward from Him. It also means not to seek approval or praise from people when giving the said thing. Dear brothers, this definition is truly eye-opening. We learn that true sadaqah is not given to show off, to acquire fame, or to appear pious in front of others. It should be given solely to please Allah and gain reward from Him. Another important point to consider is what we actually give in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. Normally, people give charity that which is not useful for them or does not function properly. This should not be the case. Whatever a person gives in charity seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal should be functional, high quality, and something which is liked by the giver himself. The 92nd verse of Surah Ali Imran contains this important fact, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ. You shall never reach righteousness until you spend the thing you love in the way of Allah. And Allah is aware of whatever you spend. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he explains what this verse means and He explained it so beautifully that the spending in this verse mentions is general and unconditional. All charity, whether obligatory or voluntary, is included in this definition. Sayyidina Hassan Basri rahimahullah, he said, anything loved by the Muslims and given sincerely in charity is included in this verse, even if a date fruit. Subhanallah. In a practical display of what this verse means for Muslims, Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah ta'ala would buy sacks of brown sugar and give them all in charity. When someone asked why, he began to say that I love brown sugar, so I seek to spend that which I love in the way of Allah. Subhanallah. Dear brothers, in this verse, notice how Allah Azza wa Jalla encourages us to spend that which we love the most in His path. Instead of being stingy, we should give charity generously with sincere intentions. Remember, everything we have is from Allah. If we give charity to please Him from the wealth that He has bestowed upon us, we hope for Him to increase the amounts of bounties and blessings bestowed upon us. If we do the opposite and withhold charity, despite being fully capable of giving it, it may lead us to being deprived of many bounties. As narrated by Sayyida Asma binti Abi Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said to her, do not withhold giving, lest Allah withholds giving from you. Allahu Akbar. Dear brothers, it is a huge deprivation to not spend in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, to be miserly when giving charity and to selfishly gather wealth whilst turning away from those in need. Always remember, it is an honor to spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal and give charity. If we do not perform these good actions, Allah Azza wa Jal will enable someone else to perform them in our place. Whilst spending in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal is beneficial for a person, greediness or stinginess leads to many losses. Allah Azza wa Jal chooses only His generous servants for good actions. These are individuals who wholeheartedly spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal and give large amounts of charity. Their wealth increases in size and blessings at an amazing pace. On the other hand, a stingy person will accumulate mountains of wealth but never become satisfied, always wanting more and more. He will thus refrain from charity and other righteous works. He will avoid helping those in need as he fears his wealth will be reduced. This continues until the angel of death takes his soul away one day, and the wealth he piled up his entire life will be distributed to his inheritors and the heirs. Now, let's hear a story about the outcome of a miser. And this has been taken from the book Uyunul Hikayat, a book that is published by Maktabatul Madina, written by Allama Abdurrahman Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala. Sayyidina Yazid bin Maisara rahimahullah, he tells us that a man from a prior nation, the previous nation, once collected a huge amount of wealth, and he had many children alongside this. And despite the huge blessing in his possession, he was extremely stingy and never spent in the way of Allah. His time passed in pursuit of increasing his wealth. Until one day he said, I will now live my life in luxury. The man then lived in affluent places with his family, with everything at their fingertips. They even had many servants ready to fulfill their every whim and fancy. The man was engrossed in the love of material wealth, such that he had forgotten of his own mortality. The angel of death, Sayyidina Israel alayhi salam, then came to his home in the shape of a beggar, in the form of a beggar. A servant heard the knock on the door, opened it and asked, why have you come here? The angel of death replied, go and tell your master to come outside. He and I have something to do. Other servants began to gather at the door. One of them lied and said, our master has gone to help a poor person just like yourself. Then they closed the door. Some time passed when the angel knocked on the door again. A servant opened the door and the angel said, go and tell your master, I am the angel of death. The wealthy man was frightened to his core when he heard this. And he said to his servants, speak to him softly and with great care. They went to the angel and pleaded, instead of taking the soul of our master, take the soul of someone else. May Allah grant you great blessings. The angel of death responded, I will not do as you ask. The angel entered the home and addressed the wealthy man. Make your will. I will not be leaving until I have taken your soul. The man's family started to scream and cry. In a hurry, he turned to his relatives and servants. Open these chests of silver and gold. He burst out, bring me all of my wealth. His entire treasure was collected and placed on the ground in front of him. He stood over it and shouted, O wicked wealth, curse upon you. You made me negligent from the remembrance of Allah and prevented me from preparing for the hereafter. Suddenly, the wealth itself began to speak. Don't blame me, it said. Was it not you who was considered lowly by the wealthy of the world? I gave you honor. It was due to me. Your influence reached the courts of the kings, an extent to which no poor or pious man could reach. It was due to me you married wealthy princes. Otherwise, how can the poor marry such people? It is your misfortune that you spent me in evil ways. If you spent me in the way of Allah, you would not be facing such embarrassment and disgrace. Did I tell you not to spend me for good purposes? You deserve to be blamed and cursed more than me. Allah. Dear brothers, your life is indeed precious and an immense blessing. It is also an excellent period of time allotted to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us to perform virtuous deeds and make our hereafter better. Keeping this in mind, we should try our absolute best and hardest to perform virtuous deeds as quickly and as much as possible in the brief span of the time that we are left with. We should give charity as much as we can. Otherwise, once death approaches and ends the life, the cycle of life, there will be no more time for us to perform good deeds. Once we die, we will not have the chance to return to this life even if we wanted to. In the 10th and the 11th verse of Surah Al-Munafiqun, Allah Azza wa Jal has stated, translation, and from what we have provided you, spend some in our path before this, that death comes upon any one of you. Then he says, O my Lord, why did you not give me a respite for a little while that I would have given charity and become of the virtuous? And Allah will never give respite to any soul when its promise arrives. Allah. Dear brothers, undoubtedly a person's wealth is actually that which he spends as charity. It is this wealth that will actually aid him in the hereafter. It will earn him the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and save him from the fire of hell. However, the wealth that remains in one's possession and he considers this to be his own, that is actually not his, but rather it belongs to the inheritors and the heirs. As it is narrated by Sayyidina Harith bin Suwaid radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once asked his companions, أَيُّكُمْ مَالُ وَارِثِهِ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ مَالِهِ. Which one of you loves the wealth of your heirs, of your inheritors, more than your own? In response, they all submitted, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا مِنَّا أَحَدٌ إِلَّا مَالُهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ. Every one of us loves our own wealth more. Upon this, the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فإن ماله ما قدم ومال وارثه ما أخر. A person's wealth is that which he has sent forth, meaning he has spent it in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the wealth that he leaves behind belongs to his inheritors. Let's now listen to some of the beautiful ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the matter of giving charity. In one hadith, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, charity closes 70 doors of evil. In the second hadith, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, on the day of judgment, every person shall be in the shade of their charity until judgment is passed amidst people. In the next hadith, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, charity indeed protects its giver from the heat of the grave, and a Muslim will no doubt be shaded by his charity on the day of judgment. Subhanallah. In another hadith, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, salah is an evidence of faith. Fasting is a shield from sins, and charity erases sins as water extinguishes fire. In the next hadith, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, give charity early in the morning because calamity does not step ahead of it. Undoubtedly, a Muslim's charity increases his age and prevents bad death. Due to it, Allah Azza wa Jal frees the giver of charity from arrogance and pride. Subhanallah. In another hadith, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, whoever gives charity for the sake of Allah, it becomes a shield between him and the fire. In another hadith, he says, undoubtedly, charity extinguishes the wrath of Allah and prevents bad death. Commenting on the last hadith, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khanaimi rahimahullah, he writes that alongside having a good end, the life of an alms-giving generous person is also good. Firstly, he suffers no worldly problems. If anything does arise as a test, Allah Azza wa Jal blesses him with serenity in his heart, which allows him to remain patient and earn reward. In essence, troubles, difficulties, calamities, and problems do not bring him any sin, but earn him forgiveness instead. Bad death, as mentioned in the hadith, refers to faith being ruined at the time of death, sudden death from heedlessness, signs that emerge as a person dies which leave others considering their death to be bad, or a serious disease that panics the sufferer and causes him to neglect the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. A generous person who gives charity will remain safe from all these evils. Sayyidina Abu Kabsha radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that he heard the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, there are three matters upon which I take an oath, and one of which I inform you. Remember this, the wealth of a person does not decrease by giving charity. Allah Azza wa Jal increases the honor of the one who remains patient when afflicted with oppression. And he who opens the door of asking upon himself, Allah opens the door of poverty upon him. I am informing you of one more matter, which you are to remember. The world is comprised of four types of people. A person blessed with wealth and knowledge, in which he fears Allah Azza wa Jal and performs good deeds, maintains ties of kinship and recognizes the right of Allah. He uses it for charity and zakat. Such a person is of the highest category. Then second person is that individual who is blessed with knowledge but not wealth. He says with a sincere intention that if I had wealth, I would act as so and so, meaning looking at the person in the first category does. He will receive good return for his intention, and the reward of both of them, this person and the person mentioned first, is equal. Third, a person blessed with wealth but no knowledge, he, as a result, spends his money without thinking and does not fear his Lord, does not treat his relatives well, nor does he recognize the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal regarding it. This person is of the lowliest category. Now the fourth category, a person not blessed with wealth or knowledge. Such a person says that if I had wealth, I would spend it like so and so, meaning looking at the person in the third category. He will attain return for his intention, and the sin of them both, the fourth category person and the third category person, they are both in equal footings. Allahu Akbar. They both are equal. We have just learned that those who spend from their wealth in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those who desire to do so despite not having financial capacity, are both considered people of the highest caliber by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. May we also be included among those fortunate people who follow in the footsteps of our pious predecessors and give charity with great enthusiasm. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. Dear brothers, our pious predecessors used to have deep-rooted passion for giving charity in the path of Allah. If a needy person came to them, they would not let them leave until they had been given something. Absolutely nobody would leave their company empty-handed. This passion for charity was so profound that on many occasions, they themselves had nothing left in their possession. Everything they owned would be given away. Their belief and trust in Allah Azza wa Jal had reached such a level of perfection that they would even give away necessary items of daily life, let alone anything extra. Now let's take a look at their passion for giving charity in the form of, you know, different types of charity, subhanallah. And there are some parables, inshallah Azza wa Jal, which we are going to learn. After we go and listen to this melodious kalam, inshallah Azza wa Jal, let's go listen to the kalam, and thereafter we shall be back and continue with those beautiful parables. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Taiba se lautna, kisi aashik se poochhiye. Taiba se lautna, kisi aashik se poochhiye. Aisa lage ki rooh badan se guzar gayi. Aisa lage ki rooh badan se guzar gayi.
Hum madine se Allah kyun aa gaye, qalbe haira ki taski wahi reh gayi. سکون آخری رہ گئی ہم مدینے سے اللہ کیوں آ گئے قلب حیران کی تسکی وہیں رہ گئی
جس جگہ سجدہ ریزی کی لذت عزت ملی جس جگہ ہر قدم ان کی رحمت ملی جس جگہ سجدار زی کی لذت ملی جس جگہ ہر قدم ان کی رحمت ملی جس جگہ نور رہتا ہے شام و سحر جس جگہ نور رہتا ہے شام و سحر فلک رہ گیا وہ زمین رہ گئی دل وہیں رہ گیا جان وہیں رہ گئی خاموشی در پہ اپنی جبی رہ گئی
پڑھ کے نصر من اللہ فتح قریب جب ہوئے ہم روا سوئے کوئے حبیب پڑھ کے نصر من اللہ فتح قریب جب ہوئے ہم روا سوئے کوئے حبیب
برکتیں رحمتیں ساتھ چلنے لگی برکتیں رحمتیں ساتھ چلنے لگی بے بسی زندگی کی یہیں رہ گئی ہم مدینے سے اللہ کیوں آ گئے قلب حیران کی تسکین وہیں رہ گئی
یاد آتے ہیں ہم کو وہ شام و سحر وہ سکون دل و جان و روح و نظر یاد آتے ہیں ہم کو وہ شام و سحر وہ سکون دل و جان و روح و نظر
یہ انہی کا کرم ہے انہی کی عطا یہ انہی کا کرم ہے انہی کی عطا ایک کیفیت دل نشین رہ گئی
دل وہیں رہ گیا جان وہیں رہ گئی خاموشی در پہ اپنی جبی رہ گئی
زندگانی وہیں کاش ہوتی بسر کاش بہزاد آتے نہ ہم لوٹ کر زندگانی وہیں کاش ہوتی بسر کاش بہزاد آتے نہ ہم لوٹ کر
اور تمنا مگر اور پوری ہوئی ہر تمنا مگر یہ تمنا قلب حزین رہ گئی،
ہم مدینے سے اللہ کیوں آ گئے، قلب حیران کی تسکین وہیں رہ گئی، دل وہیں رہ گیا، جان وہیں رہ گئی، خموشی در پہ اپنی جبی رہ گئی۔
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم۔ ویلکم بیک ٹو یور ویوز، الحمدللہ وی ور لسننگ ٹو دس امیزنگ کلام بیوٹیفل ریسائٹڈ بائی اور بلوڈ رکن شورا حاجی مولانا عبدالحبیب الطاری حافظہ اللہ تعالی۔ اینڈ ناؤ ایز وی ور ڈسکسنگ سم بیوٹیفل پیرابلز ود ریگارڈس ٹو دوز ہو گیو چیریٹی ان دا پاتھ آف اللہ عز و جل، it is mentioned about a man who came to Basra and he entrusted 10,000 dirhams to the famous saint Habib Ajami rahimahullah. The man then requested, please buy a house for me here with this money so I may live in it after I return from Makkah. Saying this, he packed his belongings and departed. In the meantime, people began to face hardship due to rising costs of flour. Habib Ajami rahimahullah then proceeded to buy flour with the same dirhams entrusted to him by the man and gave it all as charity. But you said you would buy a house for him, the people exclaimed in shock. Habib Ajami rahimahullah replied, I have bought a home for him in paradise. If he is satisfied with what I have done, then so be it. Otherwise, I will return his 10,000 dirhams. The man eventually returned and asked Habib Ajami if the latter had bought him a home. He said, yes, indeed, I have. The saint replied, with palaces, rivers, and trees. The man became overjoyed hearing this. He said, I want to live in this palace that you describe. Habib Ajami rahimahullah turned to him and said, I have bought this home in paradise from Allah. These words left the man in a state of joy even more than before. When his wife came and said, request Habib Ajami to write a document of his guarantee, the saint took a pen and began to write, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, this is a document detailing the home Habib Ajami has purchased from Allah Azza wa Jal for 10,000 dirhams, a home with palaces, rivers, and trees in paradise. Bought for so-and-so, son of so-and-so, he leaves this guarantee to be fulfilled by the mercy of Allah. Some time passed and the man eventually passed away. He had made a will for the document penned by Habib Ajami to be placed in his burial shroud. When the next day came, people saw a letter lying on the man's grave. This is a letter of salvation for Habib Ajami from the house which he bought for so-and-so. Allah has granted the house to this man. The saint then took the letter in his hand and he cried bitterly and said, this is a letter of salvation for me which was sent by Allah. Remember, in this incident, Habib Ajami, his act of using the entrusted money and giving it in charity is something which is only specifically done by the friends of Allah. They are granted unique authority, usually not offered to others. This story is an example of this. Otherwise, Sharia forbids us to use others' trust for ourselves or spend it upon others. Dear brothers, we have a wonderful Madani pearl of Nasiha, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, which we are going to listen to. Let's go and listen to this beautiful Madani pearl, and thereafter we shall be back and continue with our today's discussion. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وسلم.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated, charity does not decrease wealth, and Allah Almighty increases the status of the one who forgives others. Whoever adopts humility for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Almighty grants him elevation. Subhanallah. Look at the greatness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in giving sadaqah. Today we think that some wealth has left our possession, it has now been reduced. But my dear viewers, remember, even though we might observe that there is a reduction in our wealth, but realize the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us more when we give in His way. So do not withhold your hand when it comes to giving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give wholeheartedly. Alhamdulillahi azza wa jal. The works of Dawat Islami are in front of us. Around the world, Dawat Islami is serving the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we look at the various departments, we have Jami'atul Madina, we have Madrasatul Madina, we have Madni Channel, we have our department FGRF. We have so many different departments in Da'wat Islami that are serving the Muslims worldwide. So it is a humble request to remember Da'wat Islami in your sadaqat, zakat. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
Welcome back, dear viewers. Alhamdulillah. We were listening to this beautiful and amazing nasiha. And now, let's look at another beautiful parable. A poor person once asked Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha for something. And she was fasting at the time. And there was nothing in her home to give besides a single flatbread. She instructed her maidservant to give this flatbread to him. There is nothing to break fast with, you know, besides this. The maidservant, she told Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, that there is nothing else to break fast besides this. Ummul Mu'mineen, the mother of believers, Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she insisted. And the maidservant handed the flatbread to the person. Before the evening arrived, a generous person sent Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha a cooked goat. The meat was brought to her covered in a cloth. Seeing this, Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha called her maidservant and said, "Behold, come and eat from this. This is indeed greater for you than that flatbread." This is how the people of Allah, they live. They give charity of anything and everything that they have. This is why they were granted increasingly greater return for their deeds. They trusted and relied upon Allah to the fullest extent. One of the highest ranking saints of his time, Abu Ja'far bin Khattab rahimahullah, once said, "A pauper once came to my door and asked for help. I asked my wife if we had anything to give. She replied by saying that we had 4 eggs in our possession. I requested for her to give them to the pauper. She said so, and the person left. After some time, a friend of mine sent a basket full of eggs. My wife told me that there were 30 eggs inside. 'You gave 4 eggs to the pauper,' I said. 'Yet we have received 30 in return.' My wife then said, 30 of them are whole, whilst 10 of them are broken." Allama Yafi'i Yamani rahimahullah expands on this story by saying that some have drawn the following conclusion from the incident: that the pauper was given 3 whole eggs and 1 broken egg, and Allah Azza wa Jal gave 10 in return for each egg, whole eggs in return for the whole eggs, and 10 broken eggs in return of 1 broken egg. Allahu Akbar. Dear brothers, our pious predecessors, rahimahumullah, did not only give charity in abundance themselves, but they also greatly encouraged others to perform these virtuous deeds. And inshallah, azza wa jal, we hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the divine tawfiq and opportunity and the ability to give as much as we can in the path of Allah azza wa jal. Ameen. بجاهن نبي الأمين صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وسلم.
Islamic parables, timeless and bright, bringing the soul to the path of light. Islamic parables, Islamic parables.